I'm C.J. Miller with Hoosier Ag Today on the road in Shelby County for the very first Agribusiness Council of Indiana Regional Meeting of the Year. We are at Fishers, Inc., just outside of Shelbyville, and I'm with the President and CEO of the Agribusiness Council of Indiana, Bruce Kettler. Bruce, the Indiana General Assembly wrapped things up in mid-March, and looking back on legislation that had a great impact on Indiana's ag businesses. One key bill was Senate Enrolled Act 216 involving the the Office of Indiana State Chemist. What can you tell me about that particular bill and how it impacts Indiana ag businesses?
Yes, CJ, that was a real big bill. And in fact, it was a little bit of a continuation from last year's session of 1623. But Senate Bill 216, as you mentioned, now is signed into law, affected the state chemist in that basically the legislature has said we want our regulatory agencies, in this case state chemist in Indiana, we would prefer that our regulatory agencies not be more strict than federal standards when it comes to regulations. So state chemists, of course, are the regulators for feed, seed, crop protection products, fertilizer in Indiana. And in this case, it mostly would be from the federal level, EPA standards. And so the big thing that it changed and affected would be the certification and training for folks that handle, apply, sell crop protection products. And at one point in time, early in the legislative session, there would be certification and training standards for people that were applying and using restricted use pesticides, but would not have any of those certification and training standards for people with general use pesticides. Now, from an agriculture perspective, we all know that, you know, that can be a challenge. Our members that are in the retail business, typically they're going to be applying both restricted use and general use, so their folks would probably have to be trained and certified anyway. But if you look at other industries outside of agriculture, lawn care, pest control operators, it did affect them quite a bit because a lot of their technicians, there's a lot of turnover in those jobs and in those roles, and so not having that certification and training could have been a challenge for their businesses as well. And so there was language put back in that allowed the training and certification for general use pesticides, even though that is a little more strict than EPA standards. But I think it was a good compromise. There was, again, a number of sectors involved. But for the most part, what Senate Bill 216 did was took language that previously had been rules or regulations for the state chemist office and put them into statute. So they are actually now a part of law. And that was one of the things that the legislature was concerned with was, things that aren't in statute or in law. They would prefer that there not be rules and as many rules and regulations, but that if in fact they're good to have or necessary to have, that they line up with the federal standards and put them in statute.
Bruce, another bill that made its way through the Indiana General Assembly this past legislative session, House Enrolled Act 1003. What can you tell me about that particular bill and how that impacts Indiana ag businesses going forward, Bruce?
Yeah, that bill in particular, if you look at the agencies, the state agencies that enact rules, regulations, laws, and standards, that law basically was saying there's a section of where, so I'll give the best example, the most obvious example in ag is the Indiana Grain Buyers and Warehouse Licensing Agency. So they are the regulator for warehouse and grain buyers in the state of Indiana. If we have a failure, for example, of an elevator and they have to, and that agency has to declare a failure, there are a set of procedures that they have to go to before they can go to the Grain Indemnity Corporation and the indemnity fund that pays farmers back for those losses from a failure. This And again, this didn't just affect ag, but it affects Department of Environmental Management, Department of Natural Resources, other regulatory agencies. And so part of that procedure, the set of procedures, typically are outlined in statute. You do this, you go in front of this group in what they call administrative law judges, and the case is heard, and then the decision is made. But you have a set of procedures. This law, 1003, said we're going to put all of those administrative law procedures and the what they call judges or people in those areas, we want them all in one agency or under one set of leadership. They've been kind of scattered throughout the state. Some agencies have their own. Some of them, they're together. And so this law was really an effort to try to put them all together under one set of leadership. For ag and other industries, frankly, that work with this, our concern is making sure that if we have our members or farmers are going to go through those procedures, that you have people with expertise and experience that know and understand what the law is, what it means, and how the industry operates and works. And so there were a lot of concerns that maybe we wouldn't have the expertise needed, but we've been assured that that they'll continue to have that in these administrative law judge offices. We'll continue to have the expertise we need, because we want to make sure that these don't end up going into courts and get reheard over and over again. It drags it out, obviously drives up the costs as well. But we'll see how that all works out. But again, this really, at the end of the day, it was an effort by the legislature to kind of consolidate these things down and put them under one set of leadership within the government.
Chatting with Bruce Kettler, President and CEO of the Agribusiness Council of Indiana. One piece of legislation that did not pass, though will likely show up again, is regarding and legislating PFAS. I know that you and your team have had an eye on that legislation. What can you tell me about the bill that didn't pass and the likelihood that you'll see it again this next legislative session?
Well, I think the likelihood is it's pretty good to probably come back again. I think that's probably a given. And you're right, there was a ton of activity around this. We were very closely watching some of the committee hearings on that. The challenge is you're talking about a very, if you just talk about PFAS materials, it's a very, very broad classification of materials. And like anything, till you get into the details and you find out the different pieces of PFAS and how they affect the industry. So we didn't weigh in as an organization. We're certainly watching it because it does potentially affect some of our members. But one of the things we have to watch, this bill really was trying to get a stronger definition of what is a PFAS or what is not a PFAS. And that's where some of the rubs and concerns came. At the end of the day, they didn't pass it. But I think it will come back, and we're going to continue to watch it because it could affect things like containers for crop protection products, additives into feed, crop protection products. So there's a lot of things that can contain PFAS materials, but it doesn't mean that they're all necessarily real bad. PFAS gets a bad rap as this quote-unquote forever chemical, but not all of them are that way. And that's where I think trying to get a little more narrow definition would really be beneficial for the most part and allow our manufacturers to know what they're working with.
Bruce, not only are you in constant communication with state lawmakers, but also our lawmakers who serve on Capitol Hill, our congressional delegates, also Senators Mike Braun, Senators Todd Young. Is there any legislation that is pending or that you're keeping an eye on Capitol Hill that impacts Indiana agribusiness?
Well, the big one, of course, is Farm Bill. And we just keep hoping and hoping that something's going to happen with that. Representative Baird sits on the Ag Committee, and so we continue to have correspondence with him as well. I'm you know, frankly, as each day goes by and we don't get it marked up or don't get it heard in committees, it probably just means that I think at this stage the chances are pretty slim we're going to get a farm bill this year. I think everybody would like to see it. It gives us some certainty. We are in this extension, of course, but that's only good until the end of the year. So we do need some certainty for our farmers, and ultimately then that affects our members at Agribusiness Council of Indiana as well. We continue to watch labor bills, particularly for the H-2A programs. What does that mean? Today, this event, we've talked a little bit about transportation and the river system and trying to watch everything that affects our infrastructure, because, of course, agriculture is so dependent upon infrastructure, whether that's our rivers, locks and dams, our bridges and roads. We're always wanting to watch that, and we'll continue to watch that. But certainly farm bill is the big one.
As we pivot back, Bruce, to talk about the local state legislature, looking ahead to January of 2025, what are some key things that you will be chatting with state representatives, state senators about that are concerns for Indiana agribusiness as we look ahead to the next legislative session here in Indianapolis?
Yeah, you know, since it's a budget session, you always have to make sure you're watching that very closely. And how does that affect, like, State Department of Ag or the Office of State Chemist or any of these agencies that we're always working with and talking to? So that'll be a big part of that. Because the budget obviously drives everything, certainly. We'll see what happens again, as we talked about with the PFAS bill. We'll watch that. I think with Senate Enrolled Act 216, I think we're going to be in much better shape. With State Chemist has got things pretty squared away there. We'll watch what goes with those things. You always have to watch transportation, again, some infrastructure items. You know, there's a lot of concerns about that. One of the things that we as an organization, I don't think it will be directly effective next session, but we're always looking at new things like ag technology and how does the policy that's being worked on in the State House affect those industries. And so we'll want to start watching those pretty close and seeing it's always the inadvertent pieces of legislation that sometimes aren't thought about that can be the biggest problems and challenges if you get a law enacted that doesn't think about that. So we'll continue to watch our members. Our policy committee will watch this fall. They're the ones that set the direction for what our policy is as an organization, and a lot can change by fall. We haven't heard, and they haven't named the summer study committees. Sometimes those summer study committees can give you a clue as to things that you'll have to watch for. So we'll watch the summer study committees and the items and topics that they're working on, and then we'll see how that affects us and what we need to think from a policy perspective.
Once again, Bruce Kettler, President and CEO of ACI. Thank you so much, Bruce, for your time here today on Hoosier Ag Today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.